This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Call it the 2016 gender flap.
I respect women. I love women. I cherish women. I respect women incredibly. I have had women working for me in positions that they've never worked in terms of so many different jobs. I have given women more opportunity than I would say virtually anybody in the construction industry.
Well, of course you have, Mr. Trump. Donald Trump's boorish attitudes toward women and comments about women, including his likely opponent Hillary Clinton, have made him a national lightning rod for the discussion of women in politics. In October of 1991, it was a panel of middle-aged white men on the Senate Judiciary Committee during the Clarence Thomas hearings confronting a black woman law school professor, Anita Hill, that became a lightning rod for the discussion of women's rights in America. Here's Republican Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania.
You said that you took it to mean that Judge Thomas wanted to have sex with you, but in fact, he never did ask you to have sex, correct?
No, he did not ask me to have sex. He did continually pressure me to go out with him, continually, and he would not accept my explanation as one as being valid.
The dramatic Thomas hearings became an opportunity for Democrats in 1992. In part, it gave momentum to Bill Clinton, but it was a real boon for women candidates for Congress, women some of whom are household names in politics today.
The Democratic senatorial nominees, Carol Moseley Braun, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, Lynn Yackel.
The 1992 Democratic National Convention ended with a 45-minute celebration of the female congressional candidates. The number of women in the Senate went from 2 to 6 that year. Lynn Yackel, I heard your name being called there. Do you remember that moment at the Democratic Convention in New York?
Hi, John. I certainly remember it clearly. It was quite an experience.
And would you say that the momentum and the sense that women had an opportunity in 1992 stemmed from the Anita Hill hearings and was vindicated in 92, or was it repudiated in 92?
I guess I would say both in a way. I think it certainly generated a lot of civic engagement on the part of women, and it certainly was the reason that I decided to run. I had grown up in Washington, so I was no stranger to the Congress because my father was in the Congress, but I had never run for office. And because of the anger that women felt, particularly focused on the senator from our state, who had been the prime questioner, as you just played, I was encouraged to get out there and represent women's voices and views. And frankly, as you said, the realization that there were just men on the Judiciary Committee and that there were only two women in the Senate, I think was something that came as a great shock to women, and that was a big factor in that year.
Today, Lynn Yackel is director of Drexel University's College of Medicine's Institute for Women and Leadership. Now, you lost that Pennsylvania Senate race in 1992, and you were going up against Arlen Specter, as you said there. Was it something about your candidacy? Specter, of course, was a powerful incumbent. I mean, I really felt for you going up against Specter in 92. What do you attribute your loss to, and what do you think the overall national lessons of 92 were?
Well, first of all, I like to say that I almost won because I did win the Democratic primary, as you know, and I was only the second woman in Pennsylvania history to win the Democratic primary, and we've just had another one win just a few weeks ago in Pennsylvania, and maybe she will be the first woman elected to the U.S. Senate from this state.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were so many factors. One was that I think the public hadn't quite come to grips with women as political candidates. That certainly changed this year, and that's a very good thing because I'd like to see every election year be a year of the woman. There was a lot of difference of opinion as to how women candidates should behave. We definitely were held to a higher standard, and In fact, there was a Pew Research study just last year about public attitudes having changed in terms of women being as qualified as men to be in top leadership positions. But barriers still remain, including the expectation that women have achieved higher levels of performance. So we need to fix that.
Now, there are candidates in 9 states. There are some very high-profile races. Ann Kirkpatrick is running against John McCain, the incumbent in Arizona. That reminds me of your race against Arlen Specter. What do you make of the candidates this year, and how hopeful are you?
Oh, I'm very hopeful, and I'm so glad to see so many women running. And frankly, that was the phenomenon in 1992. It was the first time that women had really run in serious numbers for high positions. And I think now the public is much more accustomed to seeing women as candidates, certainly from the top on down. And I think these candidates are all wonderful. So I hope we're going to see many more women in the Senate. I mean, it's interesting that the pace of progress for women has been glacially slow in government. And even though we've gone from 2 women in the U.S. Senate to 20 now, that's still just 1 in 5. It's just 20%. And so one of the things I'm working on at Drexel is this national initiative called Vision 2020, which is focused on the year 2020 and the centennial of women's voting rights, and encouraging women to really get engaged in public life from everything from the school board on up, and to vote. And we actually have a 100% eligible women voting goal for the year 2020. So that's a little ambitious, but you know, it's a great goal.
Lynn Yackel is director of Drexel University's College of Medicine's Institute for Women's Health and Leadership and a former Senate and gubernatorial candidate from Pennsylvania. Great to talk to you, Lynn.
Thanks, John.
Kim Alfano is a Republican strategist and CEO of Alfano Communications. Kim, how do you remember the 1992 wave of women seeking to enter Congress?
I recall 92 and 94 as being waves, both because I think the country was ready for some change. And I think we're there now again. But back then, it was bringing the soccer moms, remember that phrase?
Sure.
The soccer moms to the forefront. It was a bunch of very feisty, exciting women. It wasn't, you know, your traditional, what we grew up with, the Bella Abzugs and the kind of more traditionally conservative, not conservative, but traditionally masculine. I hate to say that.
Well, traditionally feminist, the feminist activists. It was.
I think that 92 brought this more approachable, relatable type female to Congress and to the Senate. And that was it was the start of some good things.
How important was the Anita Hill hearings and the Clarence Thomas hearings to galvanizing a sense that women needed to be represented in Congress if government was going to function?
I think that it maybe shone a light on the lack of females in Congress and in the Senate. But I think there was a lot going on at the time. I think you saw a lot of emerging female CEOs. You saw a lot more women in the workplace, and the need sort of becoming greater for 2-income families. And so women had emerged from that, like we said, old-fashioned feminist definition to becoming the doers, the movers, and the shakers. And I think it was a natural transition. And I think Anita Hill may have kicked it into gear.
How would you say the potential for Donald Trump kicking things into gear again with his 70% unfavorables among women voters, how likely is Trump as a lightning rod to either attract women voters, attract women candidates, or affect this sort of gender orientation within the 2016 campaign in an unusual and unpredictable way?
Well, I would say, again, we're at the precipice of another natural transition for females. I've been in this business for 30 years. I don't see the differences I used to see. I see that it's not an unnatural thing to see a female CEO of a corporate 100 company. It's not an unnatural thing that Hillary Clinton is running for president. It's not this jaw-dropping, oh my God, she's amazing type deal. It's sort of predictable. We knew she was going to do it. So, and I think at this point in the country, the gender disparity in terms of what is possible in many people's mind is not as great as it used to be. So I think we're on the precipice of it anyway. Donald Trump certainly does ignite passion around the issue of women. And if you're for him or against him, you certainly have an opinion about that. But I would caution people running, as I would have in 92, if you're running just because you're a woman, that doesn't work anymore. I think that if you run a race that tries to capitalize on this, you know, imaginary war against women or something along those lines, you are missing the anger and the angst that's out there and what it really means for people.
So what do you make of this campaign video that has all these women saying quotes of Donald Trump that are offensive? And the idea is you really have to vote with Hillary Clinton.
Listen, he's a misogynistic jerk. Nobody doubts that. But the country, I think, is, while they're worried about that, and no one wants their child to look up to that, no one wants that representing us, at the same time, there are greater issues of what we call up ballot pressures. You know, there are greater issues of more immediate importance to people, which is why Donald Trump is succeeding. It's a genuine fear of our personal safety from threats from outside this country. It's a genuine fear of the economy just crashing to the point where we return to a Great Depression and people not having jobs. It's a genuine fear of these more kitchen table and visceral and immediate problems. And I think that, again, I would say that, yes, we can all hate him, but people want him in the presidency despite hating him. I'd be the first person on a playground to probably walk over and slap that kid if I met him. But at this moment in our history, nothing is working, and we are desperate for a different type of leadership.
So, Kim, you're a Republican strategist. Would you allow me to come along when you go into the voting booth in November? It sounds like you're going to have a pretty interesting decision to make.
Sure. I mean, I'm a good Republican, and I want to do what's best for this country first, because that's what good Republicans care about, and my party next. And I honestly don't believe that Hillary Clinton will present any type of change, any type of disruption, any type of innovative new way of approaching things. So I already know that that won't be good for this country.
Kim Alfano, Republican strategist and CEO of Alfano Communications. Thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.